the reading out of Matthew chapter 7 this afternoon, and then we'll move on with more of the allegory from Pilgrim's Progress. As we look at chapter 7, we find a couple of interesting verses that is used in relationship to finding our way and entering in to the straight gate. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Well, we often associate that, of course, with prayer. And prayer is essential to even our coming before the Lord in relationship to salvation. But we also read further on here in verse 13 and 14 in the same chapter. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Well, of course, Pilgrim, in Pilgrim's Progress, is one who is seeking to enter in at the straight gate. He is one who is looking to become a Christian. He's called Pilgrim in that sense that he is seeking that which he does not now have. He does not have the relief of his burden which is upon his back because of the sin which is upon his heart. And he is fleeing from the city of destruction. And we find that Pilgrim then is looking to God, that he has heard the word of the evangelist, and the evangelist has directed him over yonder plain to the light that he sees at a distance. He cannot see the straight gate at this point, but he has been looking for the way to the celestial city. And so evangelist says, "Can you see yonder light?" And he says, "Yes, I can see the light. I can't see the gate, but I can see the light." And that, of course, that is the beginning, isn't it, where we walk with God, toward God, is that we see the light. Jesus is called the light, and the light of the world. And we speak about the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is that light which directs us unto our saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And we find that Pilgrim, then, in this allegory of Pilgrim's Progress, is at that juncture. He has been fleeing the city of destruction. He has run into obstinate and pliable. He ran into Mr. Worldly Wise Man, who directed him to the city of legality. And he found himself in a very precipitous situation where there was a great mountain which was ready to fall upon him. And if he did not, if he continued on that way which worldly wise man wanted him to go, he was certain that he would be crushed under that mountain which was there causing great lightning and flashings in it. And we liken that to Mount Sinai and, of course, the law of God, which the law cannot save. One cannot be saved by the works of the law. We find that only through grace can one be saved. And so we pick up the narrative here, and we realize that Christian then needs to find his way to the straight gate. And so Christian is encouraged on his way to the straight gate and knocks to enter into that way. I'd like to read part of the narrative here just to set the tone of the allegory. He says, "Then did Christian address himself to go back, and evangelist, after he had kissed him, gave him a smile and bid him Godspeed. So he went on with haste. Neither spake he to any man by the way, nor if any man asked him, would he in any way seek to answer. He went like one that was all the while treading on forbidden ground, and could by no means think himself safe till he had gotten into the way which he had left to follow Mr. Worldly Wiseman's counsel. So in process of time, Christian got up to the gate. Now over the gate there was written, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And he knocked, therefore, more than once to enter in at the straight gate. And as we find, the idea of knocking is a perfect analogy to finding entrance, because we know what it is to knock on a door. And as you go to a door and you knock on the door, you expect someone to open the door for you. And we find that Christian comes to this place, Pilgrim comes to this place where he wants to enter in. He has gone past that juncture of his life where he is seeking any other way but then that way which leads unto life eternal. And really that's where a person has to come to, isn't it? They have to come to that place where they have stopped seeking other things. Whether it be those things of the world or those things that other people are trying to talk to them about, or things of their own ambition or things of their own works and of their own deeds and so on and so forth. And now Christian has come to that place where he wants to enter in at the way which God alone has prescribed for him to enter. And so he comes to that place and he says, quote, "May I now enter here? Will he within open to sorry me, though I have been an undeserving rebel? Then shall I not fail to sing his lasting praises on high," unquote. And so Pilgrim has come to this place. Christian now meets goodwill as he comes to the straight gate. Christian now meets goodwill. And we find that goodwill reminds us that the goodness of God leads to repentance, not to be repented of. And so if you'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. We'll read that verse just to confirm it upon our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. It says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." So we find that as Pilgrim comes to this place, he comes realizing that he must truly repent. He must repent. He has tried other things. He has listened to other people. He has been, in a sense, accosted by Mr. Worldly Wiseman and somehow shamed because he was seeking the way of life eternal rather than trying to manufacture his own means of works to get to the straight gate. And so we find that Christian now meets goodwill as he comes to the straight gate. And goodwill is a reminder to us that God is the only one who is good. That God is the only one who leads us to repentance. That God is the only one who leads us to faith and to righteousness. We're reminded that by the deeds of the law is no man justified. And let's look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." You see, as to the person who is seeking by their own means, as to the person who is coming by his own righteousness, or as to the person that is seeking to to some way muster his own brand of religion, we find that that person is storing up wrath against the day of judgment. But we find that with Christian seeks to find the straight and narrow way. And so he has come to the place where God is now beginning to impress upon him that only through the goodness of God, only through the work of repentance, only through that which God himself is accomplishing in him, can that be truly known. And so Christian continues, "At last there came a grave person to the gate named Goodwill, who asked who was there and whence he came and what he would have." And Christian responds, "Here is a poor burdened sinner. I come from the city of destruction, but am going to Mount Zion, that I may be delivered from the wrath to come. I would therefore, sir, since I am informed that by this gate is the way to eternal life, know if you are willing to let me in." And so Christian comes to this juncture in his life where he must enter in to the straight gate and the narrow way. And he comes with a sorrowful heart. He comes with a heart that is repentant. He comes to a heart that is grieving over those things which he has done previously. And so when Christian was at this particular place, we find that in the analogy of Pilgrim's Progress, we find that Beelzebub then is ready to shoot some arrows at him. And so in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Beelzebub is the name here, the biblical name which is given to Satan, as Satan is the adversary of all true Christians and the adversary of any who would seek the way to eternal life. So if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, Ephesians chapter 6 and chapter 16, we find that it reads this way: "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Well, we know that this section of Scripture talks about that armor that the Christian is to put on. But it also reveals to us that the devil is seeking to shoot darts at the Christian. And so we find that Christian stepping up to the straight gate, the first thing that happens, some darts begin to fly in his direction in the allegory. And what Christian hasn't faced the darts of the evil one? When we realize that Satan has all sorts of lies that he would propagate against us, and many different things that he would bring up to our minds and to our hearts that would somehow try to discourage us, saying that, well, who are you that you think God is going to forgive you of your terrible sins, and then point out those sins in the young Christian's life, and revealing that to Christian that he is all alone, and certainly God isn't interested in him. And so, by the way, we find that he is reminded that he fell into the slough of despond. He fell into despair. He fell into that miry, mucky mess of life and was ready to give up, save that evangelist reached out and grabbed his hand and pulled him out of the mire and set his feet back upon the solid ground again. And so all these things came back to Pilgrim as he seeks to enter in at the straight gate, because we know that Satan is the evil one and seeks to destroy those who would set out on the course where they might find eternal life. Let's turn next to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Him resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So here is Christian, he's at the straight gate, and he is reminded of his sin, and the fiery darts of the wicked one come against him, and he is also made very much aware that the evil one wants to devour him, because Beelzebub shoots arrows at Christian as he seeks to enter in at the straight gate. And so in the allegory here, we find the ominous view of Beelzebub. And he is a winged demonic creature of the most heinous appearance. And he is ready to pounce upon Christian. And he has his darts dipped in poison, and he is seeking to shoot them and to strike at the very heart of young Christian, now that he is ready to enter in upon the way to eternal life. But goodwill is there to instruct him, and he continues to talk to him along the way. The next part of the allegory, we find that goodwill counsels Christian in the way as he seeks to enter in at the straight gate. Now, the counsel of God, of course, is very valuable in the scripture, and we all need to have that counsel. And as Christian is a young Christian, then he needs to learn those things that he might be strengthened in the way as he enters in at the straight gate. And so let's turn to John chapter 6, 37 to 40. John chapter 6, verse 7, 37 to 40. And in verse 37, he begins to say, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I will lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And so we find that Christian is immediately counseled according to the word of God, that goodwill begins to encourage him. Goodwill begins to show him the promises of God. Goodwill begins to tell him of that way of eternal life which is secure in the Father's hand, as Jesus Christ has been given for the sins of the world, and that no man will be lost who enters in at the straight gate. And this is very much encouraging to us all when we stop and think about this. Though Christian himself has encountered many different obstacles up until this point, even that his wife and children did not understand why he wanted to leave his home and the city which he grew up in, or the people and neighbors that were around him, many of those neighbors trying to dissuade him from going and entering upon this pilgrimage to enter in at the straight gate. And we find that as he continues on his journey, God in his goodness, which leads to repentance, not to be repented of, God in his goodness, which quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one by faith, God and His goodness, which sets Christian upon the solid rock, even Christ Himself, and goodwill counseling Christian that he is safe within the Father's hands, now begins to come to this place where he wants to enter in. And so as he enters in, the fiery darts begin to come his way. And we know that in our own Christian lives, that as we enter in before God, as we enter into the way to eternal life, there are many who would, especially the evil one himself, who would dissuade us from that. But goodwill counsels him to continue. And so we find that Christian is at this place. Christian then says, "Truly," said Christian, "I have said the truth of Pliable, and if I should also say all the truth of myself, it will appear there is no better betwixt him and myself. It is true he went back to his own house, but I also turned aside to go in the way of death, being persuaded thereto by carnal arguments of one Mr. Worldly wise man." And we are reminded as well in the book of Proverbs that it says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. And so a pilgrim comes to this realization. He says, "Why, truly I do not know what had become of me. There had not been evangelists happily to meet me again as I was musing in the midst of my dumps. But it was God's mercy that came to me again, for else I had never come here. But now I am come, such a one as I, more fit indeed for death by that mountain than thus to stand talking with my Lord. But oh, what favor it is this to me, and yet I am admitted entrance here." And so Christian comes and he begins to realize that God is on his side, that God is providing the way of eternal life for him, and that means of eternal life is in the Father's hands and not in man's. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Isaiah chapter 3. Verse 20 and 21. If I have the right passage, let's read it and see. "The bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels." Doesn't sound like the right passage that I was looking for. Okay, I think I made a mistake on that reference. But we find that not only in the book of John, but we find in the book of Isaiah, there is much concerning the way of eternal life. That when one wants to receive the things of God, one has to partake of those things which God himself provides through his own loving hand and loving word. Let me just look at another reference here. Chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, and her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And of course we know that passage has to do with John the Baptist. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness, and he became the very fulfillment of those words of Isaiah concerning the way of the Lord, that path that God had made out of the desert and out of the highways of the world, the wilderness of this world. And John the Baptist came preaching repentance in the name of Jesus Christ. So in the allegory that he gives, we find he directs pilgrim from Mount Sinai, from the law, all the way through now to the straight gate, and pilgrim is entering in at the straight gate, the way to eternal life, and he is beginning to realize that the entrance of those things is through the very hand of God, that God is the author and finisher of faith, and that it wouldn't be of himself. The next time as we come together, we go to the next part of the allegory, which enters into some interpretations that is in the allegory, wherein Christian begins to see how he needs to trust in God, needs to trust in the Holy Spirit of God, and allow God to work in his heart through the Scriptures. And of course, that's a very valuable lesson for ourselves as well, that as we walk by faith and trust in the Lord, we need to have the guidance of the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to the things of the Word of God, that we might understand what the Scriptures are saying to us. There is only one interpretation. There may be many applications to what the Word of God is saying in our lives, but there is only one interpretation. And so a Christian has to come to that place where he realizes the true interpretation of the Scriptures. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you that your blessing is true. We thank you, Father, that your word is that which leads us into life eternal. We thank you, Father, that you lead us because you are good and none other. And the goodness of God leads to repentance and to faith. And Father, we do thank you that as we look to you, that our hope is in Christ and eternal life through him alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.